This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Leibel Sternbach is here, Joe McKenzie, and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. I have it on high authority that the Salvation Army was there to help Chris Carter, who is an all-star and Hall of Famer for the Minnesota Vikings. Is my information correct, Chris?
Your information is definitely correct. I mean, along the way in the journey, you have a lot of people that help you, but Salvation Army in southwestern Ohio was instrumental in my mom, who had seven kids before the age of 25, and be able to feed us. Clothe us, spiritual counseling, all those things were made available. So when the opportunity presented itself, I could partner with them, with not only in the state of Minnesota, but in the state of North Dakota, and be able to do good things for the people there that mean a lot to me. It was a no-brainer for me.
Well, everybody, if you haven't guessed, yes, I'm talking with the Chris Carter, the former Minnesota Viking, the NFL Hall of Fame inductee, the broadcast analyst and entrepreneur, Chris Carter. And I understand you're going to be down for the challenge for this big event happening July 27th and 28th.
Yeah, and I want people to join me.
28th and 29th, I'm sorry.
Yes, the 28th and 29th. Go on to downforthechallenge.com. I'll be in Minneapolis on the 28th and 29th of July, rappelling off of the Omni Vikings Lake Hotel. And I'm looking for people to join me so we can raise a lot of money and raise awareness to a lot of people suffering in the state of Minnesota and generate some resources to be able to help out a lot of people.
Okay, I want to be clear, Chris. You're going to rappel yourself as well, is that right?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I'm scheduled to rappel on the 28th, subject to, you know, something comes up along the way. You never know, but yes, I will be there climbing down the wall or scraping me down the wall.
I know you talked about how Salvation Army helped your family in particular, but how does it help folks here in the metro area, Chris?
Well, for a number of reasons. People don't realize Twin Cities is a great place. Minnesota's a great place to live. We've been blessed by living there. But on any given night, 20,000 people are homeless in the state of Minnesota. So the ability to be able to give people food, shelter, and all the different things that they're able to do, that's what we're trying to bring the overall awareness to an organization that's done a great job for a long period of time and let people know about it.
How long did it take you to decide to say, okay, Dan and all the team, I'll go ahead, I'll help you this year? How long did it take you to make that decision?
Yeah, Dan's a great guy, but they have an angel. I mean, literally angel.
Yes.
And angel, and angel put the full court press on me that I need to be involved and we need to be involved with each other. So in that process, it became very, very easy. And looking at the story behind it and what it meant to my family as a youth to be able to give me an opportunity to be able to reach my potential. And that's what we want people to reach their potential in life. And these resources will help them.
Well, just last year, the Salvation Army, the Northern Division itself, helped over 300,000 people to overcome poverty, addiction, and economic hardship through a range of services, meeting them where they are. Chris, do you have a final thought about the Salvation Army and the fine work and rappelling down the Omni?
Yes, please join me. We're going to help out a lot of people. And we do believe that there are other families out there like the Carter family when we were in southwestern Ohio and trying to get assistance. And we want to bring that type of assistance, food, shelter, spiritual counseling, and all the other things to the Salvation Army. Join me, Chris Carter, in Down for the Challenge. That's the first event we'll be doing July 28th and 29th. Downforthechallenge.com. Get on there. Get the information. Meet me.
Chris, I can't let you go without asking one football question and one football question only. Will the Vikings return to the Super Bowl and win it? That's two questions this season.
In my lifetime, the Vikings are going to win the Super Bowl. That's my squad, and we are going to get it done.
In your lifetime.
In my lifetime. We've been doing this a long time, Freddie. You know this is hard, man.
I know, man. I'm going to leave it right there. And I can't thank you enough for joining me this morning on the People Station, where we try to change lives the way you have, catching those passes, going over across the middle, and you'll be going down from the top and helping people in a different way. We can't thank you enough for being with us this morning.
Yeah, and thank you for all your support throughout the years. You know, the support that people know about and the ungiven support behind the scenes that you've given me. I greatly appreciate that.
You're the man. So, thank you, Chris. Let's talk again
all
soon.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
And thanks so much for being with us on New Beginnings. Thank you so much for listening to New Beginnings, and it happened this week in 1862. National cemeteries were authorized by the United States government. In 1867, the Harvard School of Dental Medicine became the nation's first dental school. In 1941, New York Yankee slugger Joe DiMaggio went hitless in a game against the Cleveland Indians. The hitless day ended his record 56-game hitting streak. In 1954, the first Newport Jazz Festival was held. In that same year, the Brooklyn Dodgers took the field as the first team in baseball history with a majority of black players. In 1955, the Disney theme park opened in Anaheim, California. In 59, jazz singer Billie Holiday died at the age of 44. In 1996, shortly after taking off from John F. Kennedy International Airport, the Paris-bound TWA Flight 800 crashed, killing all 230 people on board the flight. In 1999, a massive air and water search began for the missing plane carrying John F. Kennedy Jr. and his wife Carolyn and sister Lauren Bessett. The plane had crashed in the Atlantic Ocean the night before, killing all three. In 2001, publisher and former Washington Post chairwoman Katharine Graham died at the age of 84. And finally, in 2009, award-winning newsman Walter Cronkite, long known as the most trusted man in America, died at the age of 92.
This is my last broadcast as the anchorman of the CBS Evening News. For me, it's a moment for which I long have planned, but which nevertheless comes with some sadness. For almost two decades, after all, we've been meeting like this in the evenings, and I'll miss that. But those who have made anything of this departure, I'm afraid, have made too much. I'll be back from time to time with special news reports and documentaries, and beginning in June, every week with our science program, Universe. Old anchormen, you see, don't fade away. They just keep coming back for more. And that's the way it is. Friday, March 6th, 1981. Good night.
This has been the CBS Evening News with Walter Cronkite.
Cronkite received numerous awards throughout his life, including a Peabody, an Emmy, and the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The School of Journalism at Arizona State University is also named in his honor. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
Since its release, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell has inspired tens of thousands. And in these times, words of encouragement can be the difference. How about you? Could daily affirmations and words of encouragement make a difference in your life? Find out with your very own copy of Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Available at Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org. Scissors, clippers, styling and profiling. Information online at thestandardmn.net in Oakdale, Minnesota.
Each year, financial fraud steals up to $37 billion from senior citizens.
It was devastating.
What are we going to do?
Many lose their entire life savings.
They told us we had no choice.
The Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse conducts extensive research and provides comprehensive training to individuals and organizations to help prevent elder financial abuse.
You wiped us out.
How could this happen?
Join the fight at endefa.org.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
It's the weekend, and we're talking with Kathy McClear, AARP Minnesota State Director. And we've talked before about this, and the time is approaching to really get involved with the Community Challenge Grants. Tell us about this and why it's important for our community, Kathy.
Sure. Well, AARP is very committed to building stronger communities for people of all ages. And we know that, really good, strong communities, they take time to build and sustain. But we also know that quick actions can really be the spark for some long-term progress. And so we're really proud that we just announced our 2023 AARP Community Challenge Grant recipients for Minnesota.
Wow. Okay. Can we talk about who they are?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the seventh year, and this is the biggest year yet, that AARP nationwide has issued these Community Challenge Grants. And over the 7 years, AARP has awarded more than $3.6 million in states all across the United States. And we are so excited that right here in Minnesota, we have eight communities that are receiving more than $77,000 to fund those quick action projects that will create vibrant public spaces, expand safe mobility options, support new housing options, provide opportunities for some social connections, and much more.
All right. So who was the first one that you'd like to highlight this week on the show?
Well, we're really excited. In the past, we have had a number of grant recipients right here in the Twin Cities Metro, but we know you also have listeners across the state. And so hopefully, once we talk about some of these, some of your listeners will maybe take a road trip to check them out. So the first one I want to mention is the Madison Mercantile in Madison, Minnesota. So we know that digital literacy is so important to keep people connected, whether it's through telehealth, staying in touch with family. The pandemic really highlighted the need for that. And so the Madison Mercantile is receiving $6,500. They're going to be installing a digital literacy lab. And it's a kind of a unique space. It's in a coffee house and an art gallery, but they're going to be providing free access to computers, printers, video conferencing software, and they're also going to have some training available to help folks in that community learn how to use those resources. So we're super excited about that one.
It's pretty exciting. And I see that, you have at least two or three recipients in Duluth.
Yes, there are a number of things happening in Duluth. So some improvements at the local farmers market, at the Lincoln Park Resource Center. They'll be installing some ramps and benches and some pathways to really improve their community garden and make it more accessible. And then Equilibrium 3 is working to convert a formerly urban college farm into a more age-inclusive intergenerational space. Again, to promote some of that social connectedness. So several things happening in Duluth.
All right. St. Peter, one of my favorite places to go. You've got a recipient there, too.
Yeah. So for folks who've been around for a long time, there was a tornado that went through St. Peter in 1998. And it, you know, destroyed a number of local buildings, but it took out the place where their public library used to be. They've since relocated the library. But nothing has happened with that vacant lot. And so Point to Place in St. Peter will be receiving some funds to really revitalize that space and make it a place where people might want to gather, where they have that opportunity to connect with one another, create some murals, and have a public Wi-Fi access point. So we're super excited about what's going on in St. Peter. And if folks want to learn more about the other places in Minnesota that receive some of these grants, of course, you can find that at aarp.org/MN.
So these previous grants have demonstrated an ability to help organizations earn long-term outcomes. And it seems as if that's exactly what's happening with the recipients that you just mentioned here in the state of Minnesota.
That's what we're hoping will happen. And it's so fun to see the change happen.
Kathy, thanks so much for sharing the recipients, and I know they're excited. I can hear the excitement in your voice, and thanks so much for being with us on New Beginnings. Hi again, everyone, and I'm so excited that you would join us on New Beginnings. And joining us right now is Mr. John Schwartz. He is the founder and the president of the Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse. John, hello and welcome back to the show. Glad to have you.
Hey, Freddie, thank you very much for having me. Great to be back.
You've been doing some great work in the area of combating financial abuse, and you just recently started work with the Westchester University and the Pennsylvania Department of Military and Veteran Affairs. And the idea there, as I understand it, is protecting military veterans in that state against pension poaching. First of all, fundamentally, sir, what is pension poaching?
Hey, well, thank you very much, Freddie. So pension poaching really is a term to describe how financial predators are targeting our elderly veterans because they're on a fixed income with their pensions. So they make a very great target for these predators, and these predators are going after them. So we're trying to protect the veterans on that and give them information and knowledge on how to protect themselves. But pension poaching is one of the worst forms of elder financial abuse that our center has seen, and we're working hard to protect our elderly veterans.
So how are these scammers going after pensions, John?
So, Freddie, I see two different scenarios in which they're doing. First of all, there's the method in which they'll provide lump sum loans to veterans in a tough financial situation. And the example I have there is an example you and I spoke about before. This is Scott Cohen, and he was able to steal $300 million through a Ponzi scheme. So I'm going to read from his press release from DOJ, and it says this: Cohen and his co-conspirators solicited pensioners experiencing financial distress, most of whom were military veterans, by offering an upfront lump sum payment in exchange for their assignment of the rights of their monthly pensions and disability payments. Even though the assignment transactions were characterized as sales, they were in fact usurious loans with an annual interest rate as much as 240%.
Wow.
And that's from DOJ. But that's it, Freddie. That's what these predators are doing.
Why is it so easy, or is it really easy, that military veterans are falling prey to this? 240%, John, really?
Yeah, according to the DOJ press release on Scott Cohen, and it's up on our website on the very front page. But it is. That's a great question. I don't know why so many are being targeted, but I can tell you that in that press release, that it went further to describe that Cohen and his co-conspirators were able to place more than 13,000 veterans in exploitative loans. But they know how to target, Freddie. They're very good. And that's what we say on this show, is that these predators are experts at targeting and gaining control of vulnerable individuals. And I think that's one of the main reasons why we're seeing this at such an extraordinary level.
So with the work that you do for the center you created and programs like this, shining a light on these predators, do you think that will help in stopping some of this abuse?
I think so, Freddie. I mean, what we're trying to do at the center, combined with other organizations, is really helping. I really do want to give a shout out to Bloomberg Magazine, because they wrote an excellent article on pension poaching back in November 2021. The name of that article is "Pension Poachers are Targeting America's Elderly Veterans." It goes on to say, under the title is, Larry Eber's life was derailed when middlemen pledged to help them get supplemental benefits. Similar tales of alleged manipulation are playing out for thousands of former service members and their families. So it's articles like this that are extremely helpful. We're taking these articles, putting them on our website, and again, just trying to help educate.
So in that education process, if our listeners are looking for more information about how they can protect themselves, how can we reach out to you?
Yeah, please reach out to our website, endefa.org. Again, it's endefa.org.
All right. He's John Schwartz. He is the founder and president of the Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse. And this is New Beginnings. Thank you for joining us this weekend on New Beginnings. It's time now just for fun, something on the lighter side. The New York Public Library is finding its own way to celebrate 50 years of hip-hop. Readers can visit any library branch throughout the five boroughs to get a limited edition library card while supplies last. The celebratory card features artwork from the soundtrack cassettes of the iconic 1983 film Wild Style. The library is also set to hold a hip-hop party at the Stephen A. Schwartzman Building on Saturday, August 5th. A Bakersfield, California woman has her wedding ring back thanks to a scuba enthusiast named Mermaid Mike. The woman lost her wedding ring in Bass Lake recently during her family's visit to Madera County just north of Fresno. She contacted Michael Pelley, also known as Mermaid Mike, on social media and asked for his help. Pelley found the ring at the bottom of the lake after a couple of hours, then dove back into the lake to remove trash he found. Pelley, who says he loves to dive and to look for lost treasures, does not charge for his services. And it's wacky, but it's true. The life of a 65-year-old heart attack victim in the UK was saved when his heart restarted after the ambulance in which he was being transported hit a massive pothole. And finally, it's wacky, but it's true. A man was stopped at a border crossing in Canada. A customs agent noticed that the man was acting weird. When he took a closer look at his shirt, he noticed several moving bulges underneath. Upon further inspection, it was discovered that the man was attempting to smuggle four pigeons across the border by hiding them under his shirt. The guy told customs agent he only had the birds under his shirt because they were cold. Just for fun this week on New Beginnings.
RippleConnects.com, connecting you to your better future. Hi, I'm Joe McKenzie, founder of Ripple Connects and trainer of Ripple Effect Networking. Establishing and maintaining a strong professional network is critical to you and your organization's success. My techniques will help you stand out so you can create new sales opportunities, develop and sustain meaningful connections, grow your franchise or small business. If you want to schedule Joe McKenzie to speak to your organization, email me, joe.mckenzie@rippleconnects.com. Your network plus my techniques equals more success for you.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now's my favorite time of the program when we turn our attention to talk finance with Label Sternbach. Label is an amazing author. He is the Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. Label, it's good to be with you again. How are you, sir?
Hey, how are you doing today?
Unbelievable. As a matter of fact, I was talking to my son-in-law about wills and about trust and all the rest of it. And so this topic is so timely. I wonder if it's just this time of the year, but I'm just curious. A lot of people online have been saying that they own everything in a trust. So should everyone have a trust label?
I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of trusts. I think trusts are good for the right person in the right circumstance. But for many people, they're just a hindrance, or they give you this false sense of security that you've taken care of the things that need to be taken care of, when in fact all you've done is introduce complications that didn't exist before.
Let's back up just one second. And I'm not going to assume that everybody understands exactly what a trust is. Can you give us a Reader's Digest version of the nomenclature of a trust?
Yeah, so a trust is a legal entity that owns your assets, right? So it you know, while you're still alive, it can be, you know, something that's tied to you and your social security number, or it can be something that's completely independent, kind of like a corporation, right? And it's something that you get to dictate kind of the rules of how it operates. So you can say, well, I want this legal entity to, you know, own, you know, this investment account, and I want it to invest it, you know, according to my moral standards or for this investment goal. And I want it to divvy up its assets and pay for different things, right? And so when you're thinking about, you know, as an individual, you know, I want to have control of something after I'm gone. a trust is one of the ways to do that, right? You can, you, while you're alive, you can have a company and you can pay people to do things for you. After you're dead, your ability to influence events is limited, to say the least. And as a, you know, as a legal entity, you no longer exist, right? There's an estate which exists for up to a year, you know, potentially, but generally, it, you know, disappears very quickly. So if you wanted to have an impact, you wanted to control how things happened, you know, years after you passed, a trust is one of the ways to do it. But I think the key takeaway here is that a trust is just a legal entity that operates by a very specific set of rules that you've outlined in a trust document. And it's then subject to, you know, all the rules and laws and regulations of a trust. But I want you to just keep in mind, right, it's just a legal entity. That's all it is. There's no, like, trust police. There's no government agency that comes out of the woodworks and says, oh, does somebody have a trust? No, it's literally just the pieces of paper that you paid the lawyer for that allow somebody who's the trustee to then do things, right? It gives them, it's kind of like a power of attorney, but it's for the trust, not for you.
Got it. We're talking with Label Sternbach this week, and we're talking about trust. So are there different kinds of trust, Label?
There are different kinds of trusts. The most common types of trust, the most common one is what's called a revocable trust. Sometimes it's called a trial trust. And what it is it allows you to kind of like test out the idea of a trust before committing to it. So all the assets that are owned by this trust are still fully in your control. You can put money into it. You can take money out at any point that you want to. It doesn't have to file a separate tax return. It just has this document and it has the ability to open accounts in its own name, right? So it's kind of like if you were to create your own LLC, right? And you were the only owner of this company, it is no different than that. The IRS doesn't treat it any differently. It just gives you the ability to own things in the name of the trust rather than you're in your own name, which brings me to why you hear people talking about having a trust. The same benefits that, you know, having a limited liability company comes with, that, you know, in theory, if you're doing a business, people can't sue you personally. They have to sue the business, and it gives you protection. A trust has a certain amount of creditor protection that it establishes, because you can sue the trust, you know, if the trust is engaged in an activity, it owns property or whatever, and somebody sues the property, they're going to sue the trust and they can't come after you. Conversely, right, if you get sued and you have assets in the trust, depending on your state, some or all of those assets may be protected from creditors coming after you. So that's one of the reasons that people advocate for having trusts while you're alive, if getting sued is, you know, a real concern. Having said that, there's much better ways to take care of it than a trust. A trust is not necessarily the best vehicle for protecting from lawsuits, but it is one of the vehicles out there. Now, that's only one type of trust. Another type of trust is something known as an irrevocable trust. And it's irrevocable because once you create it and once you give it money, you can't get it back. That is the very definition of why it's irrevocable. Revocable means you, as the person who gives the money, can take it back at any time. Irrevocable means you cannot take it back at any time. And an irrevocable trust is really its own entity. It is required to file its own tax returns, right? So it's a lot more work involved. It also gets taxed at the highest tax bracket, right? So you really got to ask yourself, is it beneficial for me to have all this money in a trust that has to distribute its income and its gains every single year? Otherwise, it gets taxed at the highest tax bracket. And for some people, the answer is yes, it absolutely makes sense. But for the vast majority of people, there's no real benefit to it. And then I'm going to leave you just with one other type of trust. It's called, you know, a testamentary trust. It's what, you know, it basically means that upon the death of a person, it gets created. So it's possible that you know, with a life insurance policy or with a will, that you could create a trust that didn't exist prior to you dying, but at the moment of death, it gets created and it suddenly takes on powers.
Interesting. Everyone, we're talking with Label this week about trust. So we learned about the one that keeps you from getting sued, or if you expect to get sued, then that trust is there. The irrevocable trust, number two, and then the testamentary trust. So as a global sense, with all those three, and you mentioned there may even be one more, what is a trust then labeled better than a will in most cases?
So it depends on your purpose. They serve different purposes. And there are other trusts that serve, like, you know, specific use cases, because, you know, an ETF is technically, it's an exchange traded fund that is a trust. A mutual fund is another type of trust. So there's lots of other uses for this trust vehicle other than, you know, individuals. And so there are some really cool things that can be done with it for the right person in the right place. Having said that, for most people, if you're using it in the place of a will, then I would say there are, again, better options for the vast majority of people to be able to control how their assets transfer to their, you know, children, their loved ones, their, you know, who they want to be beneficiaries of their wealth. There are better ways of enacting that than a trust, because a trust, at the end of the day, unless you need the specific legal protections of a trust, is just a complicated document. That's really all it is. And there are far simpler documents that you can use to do what most trusts do.
So then is it too simple then, Label, to say, okay, I've got this Word document, these are our thoughts and these are our actions, this is what we're committing to, sign it, go to a notary and have it notarized. Is that good enough for a will or a working document to satisfy the needs?
So if we're just talking about, I want my assets to transfer to my loved ones, then that's really what a will is. However, what I would caution you is that in the ideal world, you do not want your assets to transfer after death. You want those assets to have transferred prior to death. And you're like, but wait, I don't want my kids to have my money before I die. I want them to get it after I die. I want to retain that control. And the way we do this is when you open up your accounts, when you own your home, whenever you title an asset, whenever you take possession of it, you want to make sure that you have an agreement with whoever is actually holding that asset, however you're owning that asset, that it specifies what happens upon death. Right. So if your retirement accounts, I'm sure you remember setting this up, that they have a beneficiary form. They say, who do you want your money to go to? When you open up a retirement account in your own name, an individual retirement account, Roth account, a brokerage account, even a bank account, you can do this on. You can, to some extent, and depending on your state, you may even be able to do with your property, where you say that I want this asset to transfer to these people when I die. Now, here's the cool thing. When that happens, and this has been held up by the Supreme Court multiple times, the document that you signed while you were still alive that said that the bank needs to transfer that money to your beneficiary or to wherever it is that you want it to transfer to, that holds up in court and supersedes any wills or trusts. And so that, and because it supersedes those, because that comes first in the pecking order, it allows your bank or your life insurance company or your brokerage account or your retirement accounts to transfer that money almost immediately, because it's just a private agreement between you and them, which means the quickest way to ensure that your loved ones have access to your money is to make sure that you have these beneficiary forms set up instead of having this complicated will or trust. Because in an ideal world, you don't ever need a will or trust. I mean, let's just be honest about that, right? Let's be realistic. What happens when a person dies, when they pass away, right? Ideally, we don't want the state involved, right? We want their spouse or their loved ones to be able to take over their bank accounts and continue paying expenses as if nothing happened, right? Because any interruption in the, you know, in finances can end up in things going in default or collections or creditors repossessing property. And we don't want that, right? We want our bills to keep paying. And so to facilitate that, we want our bank accounts to automatically transfer over to our surviving spouse. We want our cars and our property to automatically transfer to our surviving spouse or to our children. And the best way to do that is through beneficiaries. And the courts don't want us coming to them every time somebody dies, right? They don't want you to come filing to them. Most states have a threshold where they say if it's under a certain amount, don't tell us about it, right? You decide what to do and if you need to even file an estate return. And for the vast majority of people, they can settle their estates without the courts being involved, without lawyers being involved, without even the IRS being involved, right? And that's the ideal circumstance. And I think that's what we should strive for. And it's only when we have circumstances that can't be where we need to, have some kind of protection, right? Like we have young kids and we want to make, and we don't have a spouse that we trust maybe, or maybe we don't have a spouse, right? Or we're worried about both spouses passing and we want to make sure that our kids are protected and taken care of according to our wishes. That's when you start getting into, well, I want to have a will, I want to have a trust. And for most of my clients, what I really recommend to them is think about your will as more of a telling people what you want to have happen after you die, rather than directing them to, like, I want this person to have this possession versus that possession, right? It shouldn't be about that. That should be taken care of long before a will gets involved. It should be more of, this is how I want to be buried. This is, where I want to be buried. These are, where my things are that you should know about. And here's who I trust to dispose of my assets and, take care of any things that need to be taken care of.
Got it. We're about at 30 seconds, and I know our listeners can listen to this statement again via a number of different recording vehicles. But is there a place at yieldsforyou.com that you would have information about trust?
Yeah. So if you go to our website, you go to the resources section, we've got an estate planning guide. I call it the 5-minute estate planning guide. Go ahead and take a look at that. You can also search through the blogs. We've got articles on trusts and estates and all that kind of stuff. But I would really recommend, right, if you have questions about this and this is something that pertains to you and you're not sure what to do, reach out, book a quick call on our calendar and we'll be more than happy to walk you through it or refer you to, if a trust is the thing that's ideal for you, refer you to one of our, trusted advisors.
He is the man. He takes the anxiety out of dealing with your money. And that's all the time we have for today. We invite you to join us next week as we talk about the simple estate plan that everyone needs to have in place before they relocate to a better place. Label's website is Yields for You. That's yieldsforyou.com. Yields, the number 4, the letter U.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead. It's New Beginnings, and I'm Freddie Bell, reminding you that you can find me online. Google Freddie Bell, and you'll find everything that you need. And did you know that it's National Creme Brulee Day? It's one of those great dishes that helps to finish off a great meal. Remember, National Creme Brulee Day, and you're listening to New Beginnings. Even though the federal COVID public health emergency has ended, it's important to take steps to protect yourself from the virus. The ending of the public health emergency does not change the availability of COVID-19 vaccines. Vaccines will continue to be provided by the federal government through the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. It's also anticipated that COVID-19 vaccines will transition to the private market in early fall. You can learn more details about the transitions at the Minnesota Department of Health.
Visit my all-new FreddieBell.com website. Get up close and personal with me as a speaker, motivator, and broadcaster. Read what others have to say when they've hired me as a keynote speaker and presenter. And learn why I'm the authority on the power of focus. Download the marketing kit or contact me directly at 888-639-9738. When you're there, stop by my all-new Freddie Bell Show webpage at FreddieBell.com. FreddieBell.com. Information, motivation, innovation, and more.
As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
My father, like the prodigious father, was embracing, loving, and empowering. One way he expressed that is he would always meet me halfway. Son, you asked the question. I'll help you find the answer. I won't answer it for you. Many a time, I would say, Dad, what does this weird word prodigious mean? And he'd point. He didn't even have to say anything, because in the corner of our living room was one of those dictionary stands with his father's dictionary. It was about that thick. And that meant, I'm not going to tell you. Use your ability. Consult that word source. Find your answer. I will always have the ability to find your answer, but I'm not going to answer it for you. I wonder what he would have done with that opening statement. What is the question that your life is the answer to? Well, he would always meet me halfway. And here's kind of an extreme way. He said, whatever interested me enough so that I would earn half the money or put in half the effort to acquire it. My father said, I will meet you halfway. We'll go 50-50. Charles Fillmore said that was our relationship with God. God is our partner, always willing to work with us, but we have to make that first initiating effort. So I was 14 years old, and I put this strategy to a test. There was a historic church in a nearby town being demolished. The bulldozers were already there. The beautiful stained glass windows were being torn down, not saved, destroyed. And when the church was halfway torn down, it was a Catholic church. So in the back balcony still standing was the turn of the 20th century pipe organ. A beautiful organ and all the oak casework and gold pipes. It was elegant. I didn't want it to be destroyed. I said, Dad, let's buy it. So he did talk to the demolition contractor and found out the contractor had dug a big hole and was going to just throw into the hole that beautiful instrument. They had a life-size sculpture of Michelangelo's Pietà. It was already in the big hole, broken from being cast into the pit. So the organ was next. He found out a price. I said, I've got savings for half of it. My father said, I made my promise. So it was purchased. And he went the extra step. He knew a man back home who had a trucking company. And he said, will you get one of your drivers who deserves a day off? I'll pay him, lend him a truck, and go to this little town. And others will be there to help to pack up this pipe organ that James has bought. Well, I'm sure he questioned his own judgment, if this was a wise course of action. But he was going to follow and fulfill his promise. And so after a lot of work and a number of people and many miles, it was a good distance, a couple of hundred miles from our home, the trucks arrive. And the extensive basement of our house was filled with this 100-year-old pipe organ. Many years went by, and I learned every detail by taking apart every little piece. Now, to be honest, I never put it back together to achieve a working instrument. It was beyond my skills at that time. But I learned a lot. and I kept that instrument from being in a hole. That is, I, with my father's help. And as time went by, I found a historic church in Kansas City, and up in their balcony was part of their pipe organ for that church, but it had no casework. So it was all kinds of mechanics sitting there loose. Not unlike our great St. Paul Cathedral, the organ in the back balcony that's so beautiful now. A friend of mine from Missouri restored that organ in 2013. And where it had sat there all bare bones and exposed, he worked with an architect and they built that beautiful wood and gold case that's in the cathedral now. So this was a smaller example. So I gave all this beautiful quarter sawn oak carved work from my organ to that church. And to this day, they dressed and clothed the pipe organ they had, which was naked, and clothed it with this beautiful. So there is a happy ending to the story. So my father fulfilled his promise. On a much smaller scale, he was over the top generous. When I was graduating from high school, like our friend Jana Christensen, I needed a suit, and I went out, and of course, I picked out the more expensive suits, and I found one. And Dad said, well, let's get that. And I said, oh, Dad, it's expensive. It's too expensive for me. And I'll never forget his response. Son, any suit in this world that I can afford, my son can afford. And he purchased that beautiful suit. I wore it for many years. Wouldn't fit anymore. But it sounded early on like a unity principle before I knew what a unity principle or even what unity was. And that is to realize we're all children of a prodigious Father. Whatever source can provide, His creation deserves, can receive. That's how my father taught me not unity as I teach it, but he taught me principles of life. He taught me promises should be fulfilled. If the source is great and wealthy gifts can be provided for those who ask. Whatever I can afford, my children can afford.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
And now it's time for Outburst. Well, I'll be sharing a few excerpts from my upcoming book, inspired by the timeless wisdom of Words to the Wise. Today's focus is on the concept of finding solutions within ourselves. In our fast-paced lives, it's easy to overlook the immense potential and resources we carry within. We often seek solutions in external circumstances, looking for answers beyond ourselves. But what if the key to our challenges lie inside? As I experienced a frustrating camera issue while preparing for an important annual meeting of 18 community radio stations across the state, I realized the significance of this message. Amidst the urgency of technology and logistics, the solution was hidden in a seemingly insignificant detail, a small cover over the camera's lens. This incident served as a powerful reminder that sometimes the answers we seek are within arm's reach. By looking inward, we can tap into our own ingenuity, resilience, and wisdom. Taking a moment to pause, reflect, and listen to our inner voice can lead us to discover innovative solutions that may have eluded us otherwise. Chairing that annual meeting taught me the importance of fostering open communication and collaboration. By encouraging each station to contribute their insights and perspectives, we were able to unlock a wealth of knowledge and find creative ways to address shared challenges. Together, we become stronger and more unified. In a world filled with external noise and distractions, it's crucial to remember that the true source of wisdom resides within ourselves. The power to overcome obstacles and find solutions lies in our ability to look inside, trust our instincts, and harness the collective wisdom of those around us. Today's words to the wise, look inside to find the solution. To delve deeper into these insights, I invite you to visit my website, freddiebell.com, and let's embark on a journey of self-discovery and collective growth. No doubt we can uncover the hidden treasures within and forge a path to a brighter future. That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.